State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy is joining us for our last Tacky Talk of April 2026. Tacky.
Happy last day of April, Joe. As also our 6th anniversary month since we started doing this together at the beginning of COVID. And yeah, it's amazing how time flies. Not necessarily the month of April, but together we've been ageless for 6 years in Vegas.
Yeah, well, you have. I don't know about me. It started out in my home office with my cat in the background, and we've graduated. You're still in your dining room, but I'm back in the studio.
Well, that is true. That is true. But it gives you all an idea how long we've been doing this together. And again, it's been unscripted since day one, and continuation of just whatever topics of the day comes forward. But also shows that we have adapted to communicating with the public, where while we're not doing reels or YouTube shorts, although since I don't own the product, Joe may decide to go that direction at some point if he has summer interns and know how to do this. It reflects the fact that we can get to a global audience, not just a city audience, through the internet.
Yeah, well, that was the initial thought, right, when we started this, was let's find some way to keep connected with the community, and it's just continued. Maybe we'll turn you into memes, Tacky, 8-second memes.
Well, given the fact that I pretty much don't believe I own my own image on the internet, despite being a Screen Actor Guild member, since this is not a compensated copyright performance.
That's right.
Conventional
That's
hand.
no money exchanges hands here, folks. None
Yeah.
whatsoever.
People have the First Amendment right to create parodies for now, until this president decides we don't.
That's right.
Yeah, I think you and I both know we're basically subject to the whims of the people on the internet.
No, absolutely. And now with AI, who knows what could happen?
Yeah, I was actually being more critical of actually even non conventional media, basically either citizen media or these websites. I don't know where they came from regarding images, because of AI. And give an example. I was under the false impression of this individual during the tragic attempted a mass shooting slash assassination at the Correspondents' Dinner, where there's a picture of a video of one individual just didn't get out of his chair. And
Oh, interesting.
just kept eating. I thought it was fake, but it actually was real.
Really?
Yeah, it was real. It was someone from the entertainment industry, a casting or something like that, that didn't feel the need to sit back down and was too hungry to just take the plate with them under the floor.
Wow, it might have been his last meal if things had gone differently.
Yeah, May. Initially, I thought it was not real, but it turned out that was a real individual.
Huh.
You have to degree a little skepticism only because, given the circumstances, you would
Yes.
presume life preservation be priority one, even if you weren't sure if the shooter was there. Just the fact gunfire is sufficient to get people onto the ground. I mean, it's just, smart. But no, this dude just sitting there acting like it's cool. And some
Okay.
people may have seen this already. And yeah, no, it is not fake.
Interesting. Well, I mean, it does raise the bigger issue of, yeah, you have to question everything you see, hear, and read these days.
Especially when something like that seems to defy common sense.
Right. Like, yeah, I'd be on the floor under the table.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, though, there's a whole lot of AI images regarding these hidden symbols and various artwork and pictures, which global, all not just local media in the sense of United States media, but global media keeps trying to decipher with technology to find out which are fakes and which is real.
Yeah.
And this continues to be an issue, not necessarily a domestic issue, but a global problem, especially with foreign actors, especially with terrorists, especially of unfavorable nation states who take advantage of us via social media, taking advantage of algorithms to feed you what you want to see. And what you see may intentionally be 100% fake.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're seeing that play out in the courts now with some social media companies, right, being accused of targeting children.
Yeah, Meta and Google were brought in, and California lost. Google, I believe, lost in, I'm sorry, not Google, Meta lost in Arizona for a ginormous settlement regarding some tragic situations of children self-harm. I believe one was a suicide as part of a class action. They're trying to, again, protect themselves under the Telecom Act's First Amendment component, where they control the forum, but they don't control the speech. Well, that was probably well intentioned in the days of message boards. Given the
Right.
fact that none of them could anticipate AI media or using video or using image manipulation or using fake identification or using any number of means to cover your trails on the internet. Well, unless you're the FBI, it's going to be hard for it to find them. No one could anticipate that when Telecom Act was put together over 30 years ago now.
Yeah.
And as a result, I mean, the law doesn't keep with the times, and Congress refused to keep up with the times. And let's call it what it is. I mean, Big Tech is a major lobbying firm. I think Big Tech has never been such influential in DC as of today. And does that mean things can't change? Things can still change. But, whether or not our colleagues in Congress or our representatives in Congress, as a collective, not just our state delegations collectively, are going to be working in the best interest of the folks, that we serve, but going to continue to kind of act like it's, well, it's not our problem yet.
Right. That's why you're seeing states, including Massachusetts, right, look toward creating their own social media policies.
Yeah, we discussed already as part of the cell phone ban, this, to be honest, a little bit convoluted social media ban on age 14. It's a little more complicated, I think anyone gave it credit for. And then you also got that we did in the House. The Senate hasn't done it yet, but it's in the House. And of course, the Senate, a privacy law, not 100% consistent with the other 26 plus states, but I mean, is inside the ballpark of consistency. And the House is trying to figure out, which direction we want to go. And they're going to try to be more consistent, compliant, or following the other majority of states, or do we kind of go rogue on our own? And
Right.
conformity does matter, particularly when you have, business by nature is 100% over interstate lines.
Right. Yep. Yeah. I think that the more straightforward policy is the one regarding devices in schools, right? That one seems a little bit easier to comprehend.
No, absolutely. I
Yeah.
mean, the no longer having the school children use cell phones in classrooms and making sure they're secure and locked up or they're not on premise. It depends on each school district how they want to do it. Plus, some pilot programs using certain technologies, as recommended the Department of Secondary Education. Is the House proposal regarding cell phones in schools. But as we know, the Quincy School Committee's already moved forward. And to be perfectly honest, folks, you don't need us to do this. Every school district can do this on their own. Now, whether the school committee would go along with it, because after all, they are elected, and
Right.
there'd be pushback from parents regarding this matter, because there are elected officials like myself. Also, the question is, do you want some what level of consistency do you want school district to school district and vocational schools and private schools, all different as well. And we really have no, even by state law, have a lot of impact on private schools.
On private schools, right, yeah. Public schools different. I think some of the smaller communities are looking to the state for guidance and support. That way they don't have to deal with it.
Well, for us, we don't have a regional school district, for example.
Yeah.
So and regional do school district does have a type of school committee, which is also elected,
Yep.
and they answer the constituency. So some of you may be listening, goes, oh, well, if school district can do this, oh, why does the state have to engage itself? And your question is absolutely valid. This is something we do talk about at the State House. Yeah, but we also do recognize that you may not be aware, but I mean, school committee people can be influenced by their voters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, locally it's Blue Hills Regional is the one I think of right away.
Exactly. And then we ourselves find ourselves, doing a statewide law, creating a type of mandate, which actually takes responsibility off the school district of making decisions and just basically blame us,
That's right.
which I actually don't like either, as you can imagine. But
No, because like you pointed, you're elected also, right? Yeah.
exactly. So, I mean, some folks listening say, oh, that's a common sense. Well, another community, maybe your parents don't agree with that position and, they're going to, take on the local school committee.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I'd be curious to see how it plays out. I think we'll know by the end of the year.
Every voter is an individual, every voter is different, and every community is different, and every elected official has to respond to the local community. And we talked about this at the global level as well. Every Democratic Republic nation has to answer to the constituents. Despite, what people's personal opinion of politics domestically, if you don't want to recognize that other Democratic Republics answer to their own constituency and not to you and me or the president, really got to question, do you actually understand how democracies work? And the fact that just because, you want something, what a voter doesn't, doesn't invalidate their position. And of course, internationally, people need to, understand that these voters, have to answer to their own people. As I said before, you got to look at Hungary's election. which is fascinating. But Armand, where J.D. Vance basically tanked this guy showing up and did absolutely nothing to help him. It just made it worse. And then you look at other countries like Mali right now, where domestic policy is going down the toilet really quickly regarding the economy and local corruption, which included his own family that he was trying to weed out, and he couldn't even get his own people to behave.
Which country, Saki?
Argentina.
Oh, Argentina, yeah.
Yeah, it's a fascinating political country. And Milei over there is a very popular president, but his polls have tanked in the last several months because of the economy is not reviving itself as he had hoped. And he did was re he was campaigning on weeding of corruption, what he did. Unfortunately, his own people weren't paying attention to that. And
I
then his
see.
own people committed corruption. Now he's got
Got
another
caught in his
problem.
own trap, huh?
He
Wow.
got his own trap where his own people thought, well, we weeded out the other people. That means we could do it. It's like, not as, he's like, that's not how that works. So he's like running around, like killing off his own people now because his own people weren't paying attention to the fact that they're trying to weed out corruption. And it means them
Wow.
too. So he's like in the last 6 or 7 months has been trying to weed out his own people right now. Like, you know, we ran on this and now you're screwing me. And he has to do something about it. He can't just let it stand.
Well, you've already made a position, right? Exactly.
And Trump is not popular in Argentina general voter population. So like here in Massachusetts and as well as the country, foreign policy has almost no actually is very low on the priorities of regular American voters, actually regular Americans period, anyway, or any American just period. The foreign affairs tend to be very low on the priority list.
Yeah,
And
unless it
actually,
hits the gas pump like it is right now.
well, as there's a war, right?
Yeah.
Then people here tend to pay more attention to foreign affairs. But also, you know, you don't care about other countries' opinion unless, and why should you, right? Most people don't care about that stuff. People care about what's actually in front of them, which is the bread and butter issues today. And, you know, we could dovetail to that fact that, you know, PCE was high. It was, you know, not surprising. And CPI is going to be high because all these fuel impacts will be trickling through the system ever so slowly, where your consumer price index, well, you already see it at the pump, you already see it at the grocery store. The
Right.
data collection is always 1 month behind. And you're going to see this data collection 1 month behind and start to reflect what you're looking at in front of you now.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And interest rates are going to stay the same according to the Fed yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to stay steady for a bit because of the nature of unpredictability. You know, your home mortgage rates are not subject to the Federal Reserve. I'm going to say this over and over again to remind people because despite what the administration said, that is factually incorrect in the real world of how things operate in the market. You know, it's a short-term bond yield, which is the low interest rates, which again, not advising what you do regarding, you know, short-term T-bills and, you know, savings accounts, but, you know, that's your discretion. But that's the world that the Federal Reserve impacts the most, including how banks borrow money from the Federal Reserve to do day transactions, and banks borrow money from each other on day transactions. So, I mean, that's the big impact in the short-term bond. And, you know, that affects things like your credit card rate and other types of short-term revolving loans, which affects a lot of businesses. So that's really what the Federal Reserve really has a lot of say in the matter. But those short-term, you know, small issues that have more direct consumer impact than the long bonds, you know, has more direct impact on whether you can stimulate or destimulate the economy, especially at the, you know, revolving loan area, as well as, you know, your ability to spend using credit cards and whatnot. So, you know, I given the certainty, I can see them sitting tight. And, you know, you all saw in the news that Kevin Walsh is basically going to get confirmed in the month of May and right in time to replace Jay Powell as the Federal Reserve Chair. Jay Powell is going to stick around. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch where you have, you know, people who are professionals and have a lot of economists, other professionals at the Federal Reserve. And we'll see how, you know, the Trump appointees, which is basically just two, may come down to it, you know, try to navigate working with other folks. And the thing about Walsh is he's been there before. So it's not like
Yes.
you got, you know, some brand new, you know, go in there and just blow things up. No, this guy's been
Right.
there before. He knows the nature of the Federal Reserve, how the system works, how you're rotating Federal Reserve Bank chair, voting members, non-voting members, as well as then analysis that's involved. And, you know, most people realize how the Federal Reserve do analysis has changed over the many decades. And it looks like it's going to change again, but it doesn't dissolve their mandate, which is to address inflation and unemployment.
Right, and both are you running opposite of each other right now? Inflation's going up, unemployment is staying steady or going down.
Yeah, K-shaped economy continues where people at the way up end of the bracket supporting consumer economy. Consumer confidence is down, but all sectors continue to spend because we always have to buy groceries.
Right.
And people still want to take maybe not fancy long vacations, but I mean, people are rearranging how they do recreation. A lot of people did, as I always say over again, don't plan vacations in like the last second. Most people plan trips months in advance,
Sure.
which shows up in the current data sets, but we don't know what it's going to be like. People making plans in, let's say, July for the fall. You just don't know yet.
Right.
So, I mean, there's all this stuff that individual people make decisions that the Fed's trying to collect as a collective data set. And it's not, it's a general snapshot of all of us, not an individual snapshot.
Right, and as you pointed out, it's delayed data as well. It's not the most current.
It is. And we're also in a no hire, no fire economy.
Yep.
Where
So,
people are not being terminated, but people aren't moving around as much.
yeah, I think everybody's in kind of wait and see mode right now.
No, I agree. And we're in
Yeah.
wait and see mode at the state level as we completed the debate on the budget last night.
Yeah.
The earmarks were thin.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let me see. I have the data here. So the House voted 149 to 9 Wednesday night, passing a roughly $63.4 billion fiscal 2027 budget after adding about $81 million in new spending over 3 days of deliberations.
Yeah, that isn't a ton of money in terms of the big picture. I mean, the overall budget from last year has gone about 3.6, 3.7%. We're talking
Okay.
very, very conservative, very modest, and barely $50 million, maybe a little more than $50 million over the governor's recommendation when we got done with debate.
Okay.
So we're talking essentially level funding from the governor in terms of the
Right.
bottom line. Now, internally, we may not have followed the, we actually know for a fact we have not followed the governor's recommendation for every spending component she wants to do. Some areas we did more, some areas we did less.
Yeah.
So, while the bottom line numbers, for all intents and purposes, the same as the governor's, it's not that. I'm not going to call $80 million a big
Not in the big
difference.
picture, not a 63.4 billion. No, it's
Yeah, it's
yeah.
not a lot. So,
No.
I mean, but it doesn't mean the internal components. So, certain agencies, for example, took a haircut. We put more money into local aid. Especially Chapter 70, address circuit breaker stuff with a bit more money to her. We put a little more money towards the MSRVP program for our version of Section 8, the housing vouchers. So we did some stuff different.
What does it mean for Quincy Tackey?
Well, roughly speaking, I looked at the House estimates. It's estimates, folks. It doesn't mean the Senate's going to do it. We don't know what's going to happen against the governor. When we add up, the Chapter 79 money, which is the education funding, it's about 49.1 million. We give you free money, literally it's free money, 23.95 million to the city. They can spend on anything you want. And then we look at some of the other programs, such as real estate abatement assistance program, veteran services, the public library. I mean, when we add all that together, it's about 72 million plus dollars. Coming out of this budget. That's the estimate. Now, that does not include any earmarks. That does not include any grant funding. That does not include other things like Council on Aging was one of the things we debate a lot every cycle about, whether we're going to raise the per unit like we do per pupil for schools. We do kind of a similar thing, Council on Aging. Doesn't address things like state police patrols that we got again for overtime patrols on Ferris Brook and Fisher Drive, largely thanks to Bruce Ayers. So, I mean, that number gave you a 72 plus million is the estimate of what we're going to give the city on a number of programs, including this, again, like pilot payment in lieu of taxes for state property, things like that. But again, this does not include a whole bunch of other things like SAFE grants just came out for fire safety education program just came out this week for FY26. So, those programs will be part of FY27 as well. So when we get to the final budget, you're talking another maybe tens of millions of dollars of grant programs, as well as other things like Council on Aging and similar programs that will get more finalized numbers when we get to the governor's desk. So,
Yeah.
but put in perspective, folks, your state government, Katrina is estimating right now contributing $72 million to your city budget. And last year's city budget was about 456-ish million dollars, give or take. And I've not seen, you may have seen, but I've not seen the mayor's recommendation for FY27.
No, he'll be doing that Monday night, actually.
Yeah, so when you guys talk about it, we can talk about it next week, about the budget, keep in mind the governor, I'm sorry, the mayor now has the House recommended numbers, be able to put his budget together in terms of how he would like to do his spend. And when you see in the news, like you see, like, oh, we collect X revenue, but you look at, like, 44 plus billion dollars, but you're looking at revenue of $63 billion. I'm going to spend the 63, but revenue is 44 billion. That difference is a lot of it's federal reimbursements.
Okay, yeah.
And so you're looking at, that's Medicare and Medicaid, that's unemployment, that's SNAP, that's a lot of these federal programs. You never realize those federal programs because we operate them on behalf of the federal government. There's a lot of them.
Right.
And you look at 44.8 billion dollars or so, and then you look at 16.3, and you're like, what's going on here? A big chunk of that is the federal government. And you got some teeny, teeny amounts of things like settlements and fines and fees, and particularly fines, actually, those are hard to predict because when you fine people, it's not like it's consistent revenue.
True.
But they have like all these other smaller amounts packaged in there. It isn't straight tax revenue, but the massive chunk of that is Fed. So give it what, $44 billion in just tax collection revenue. Right. We do know there's fines, fees, and settlements, which are going to make up some little bit of the remainder. But 463 minus 44, a lot of that is Fed money.
And that's uncertain right now.
It's very uncertain still.
Yeah.
That's why we're running a very conservative budget.
Right.
We might have what they call an artificial surplus. Surplus, is where we have more money than projection. That's what it is. And we may call it, I always think it's called artificial when we're being really conservative, because we probably may have more than we do. But we also have the opposite. If the Fed's cut things by $1 billion.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a quote here from the speaker. He says, this is projected to be a quote, very, very difficult fiscal year in a truly, truly challenging economic environment, period, end quote.
It's a lack of certainty.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. It's a lack of certainty. So, state's unemployment slightly higher than the Fed, than the federal number.
Is it really?
It's always slightly higher this
Okay.
time around. Normally, it was slightly lower because we're buffered by education, healthcare, and tourism. So we always have the ability to buffer.
Yeah.
Everything's wicked expensive. You all know this. I know this, which doesn't help the economy. It reduces your disposable spending. And there's a ripple effect. So if you're ordering one less glass of wine at a restaurant, then the restaurant's not going to buy another bottle of wine, which has reduced their excise taxes.
Yeah. I mean, there was a point a few years ago when, wages were above inflation. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah, it is right. When your wages can't beat inflation, that means you're not making minimum cost of living. And
Right.
again, this is a macro number we're talking about. I mean, your individual situation may be different. But in general, right now, that's the case. And as we talk about the K-shaped economy, those of us are, honestly, it's like less than $400,000 at this point. I mean, I know it sounds like a crazy number one, but state's medium household income, I think, is going to be projected over $100,000.
Actually, the numbers just came out earlier this week, and in this part of the state, at least, it's $205,000. That's the median.
That's the median household income. So
And
what
in
we,
Eastern Massachusetts, yeah.
yeah, so this, so how we think of what middle income has changed.
Yes.
Because we always think, a lot of us are under this very antiquated mentality, including myself, that middle income means 50 grand. No, that's like an ancient number. It doesn't work.
Right.
So if your median is 250, that means
205, sorry,
it's like
205.
$200, $205,000. That means you got this really broad range of people making a whole lot less and a whole lot more than that.
Yeah. That
And
was
then,
eye-opening to me. Yeah.
yeah, a whole lot less and a whole lot more. It means that both ends of the spectrum has really shrank on one side and really grew on the other.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it makes you feel like, gee, I'm not doing as well as I thought I was.
Yeah, I promise you this much, I sure ain't.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really makes you take a hard look at your own personal situation, financial situation.
Yeah, and that if that and that's median, and inflation, it's not keeping up with inflation.
Right. No, exactly. Yeah. So your
And
spending power is less. Yeah.
high median income means we're a very expensive state.
Yes. And that's no secret. I didn't realize it was that expensive, though. I think there were only a couple that were more expensive. New York City, obviously, was, I think, the top one.
Yeah, if it's too low a median income, it means we got nothing going on.
Right.
So you can't go too low because it shows there's nothing happening to stimulate your economy because people aren't getting more money, meaning the wages are going up.
Right.
You're too high, we're too expensive. And as you just said, wage inflation's really slowed down.
Yeah. Okay, so the House is done with the budget. What happens now?
Goes to the Senate. The Senate
Yep.
will start the budget debate during a Memorial Day week.
Oh, okay.
And the Senate always gets a better shot than we do regarding estimates because they'll see the April numbers. We don't see the tax collection numbers from April 15th, which is when we do the budget. So that numbers will be coming out first full week of May.
Okay.
So the Senate will have a better bid to readjust their budget projections based on that, even though we do have a consensus income. They're going to be able to do a little bit of tweaking to figure out, if things are worse, they're going to tweak down. If things are a little bit better, they'll tweak up a little. But don't
Yep.
expect like $1 billion differential. It's not going
Right,
to
yeah. So,
happen.
and then does it have to come back to the House again, or does it go into a joint committee? How does that work, Jake?
So we'll be back at conference committee. We
Conference
have
committee.
both the Senate Ways and Means leaders cut hash it out. Three members each side, with a Republican on each branch representing the minority party, the six-person committee, and then they'll make a recommendation. I suspect we probably will have something done by July 1st, and I say that because that's not just because it's not a fiscal year. There seems to be a consensus of both Ways and Means Committee that we got to be really conservative and get ready for what happens on October 1. I always say October 1 because that's the start of the federal fiscal year.
Right.
And the big chunk of impacts that you saw from the Big Beautiful Bill, as well as all the other rescission bills and all the other changes in the DC. They've done, take effect on fiscal year this 27 for them, which is October 1. And
Okay.
in case you went into politics of this, they did it so that it's too close to November election and after many of the primaries that, they feel they can get away with when people realize the repercussions. However, as you've seen, and we're going to continue to talk about this as more special elections and primaries continue, including Governor Milas dropping out of the U.S. Senate race in Maine, which is
I
actually,
just read that. Yeah.
yeah, guys, look at Maine. That's going to be a fascinating race now, regarding two very different people running in that race with Olympia Sloan and the other guy, I believe, is Pantier.
That sounds right. Yeah.
So very fascinating story. Very much encourage people to look at that race if you're a political junkie. The tactic of, well, if I can survive my primary, I can survive against, the opposing party, especially in case Republicans is the controlled both branches, the public won't realize what we did until it was too late. And this is not an uncommon practice, particularly in politics where people are trying to avoid the voters, so to speak, by saying, hey, you're going to do this at a date where it's too late for them to realize what we really did. And I say that because Republicans, are slashing, cutting unemployment benefit programs, which is a Fed program, SNAP programs, we should talk a lot about here. But also things like the EPA, they blew up FEMA, which in certain states, FEMA is it. Like, we go to anywhere along the Mississippi River, they're FEMA dependent.
Yeah.
And those Republicans killed that agency. And, a lot of the consequences will be felt after October 1. But, let's say your congressional district sits on the Mississippi and, let's say October 15th, there's a massive flood and there's no FEMA to help you. Elections coming up in November. I mean, the constituents are going to realize something's wrong here.
Right. Yeah, which I mean, that's a very, very viable scenario because it's happened before.
Yeah, and certain states aren't well as vaccinated for reasons we won't talk about now. But, measles are killing children. And they tend to be in areas that are not as wealthy regions, which tend to be Republican areas.
Here in Massachusetts, the primary is September 1st, actually. It's the earliest it could ever be.
Yeah, we have actually also, I believe, November 3rd.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, November 3rd. So our primary by law, has to be within a certain number of weeks of the final election, since November 3rd is so early. It's almost early. It is early as you can possibly have, actually, the first Tuesday after the first Monday. Well, this is November 2nd, I think. So it's almost as early as you're going to get on November 3rd.
The third is the third, yeah.
Yeah, that means we're pushing to like the beginning of September because we have
Yep.
like eight, is it eight? Almost 8 weeks
Yep.
differential between the primary and the final. And again, it's yes, before Labor Day, it's gonna be very, very difficult turnout because of that. And I remind folks, you can get your early ballots now, the application
Yep.
available online, or go to the city clerk's office. Definitely encourage people to go ahead and do that. If you're gonna be on vacation going into Labor Day week, early voting and whatnot's gonna be out. The city will set the schedule up in locations. As Secretary of State points out, definitely get your ballots in earlier because of the lack of surety of the Postal Service.
Right. Yes.
I still pay by mail, by bills,
Yep.
pretty much my credit card bills, and I'm now up to 10 days of getting in the mail, or 10-ish days. What they used to do was 5 days.
Right, just to be sure it gets there on time, yeah.
That's right. It really has changed. I've only just noticed this in my own habits. And the posting of your credit card bill when you throw a check in the mail is a very good indication about the speed of the mail service.
Yes.
And mail-in ballot should be, if you ask for one now, should be available in the doorstep sometime by late July.
Yes, I think, yeah, that sounds right.
And you may have May, because there's some debate about certain ballot questions right now, whether they're going to still make the cut up to 12 potential ballot questions. If you don't want to be sitting scrutinizing it, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. That's November. My mind mistake. November election ballot, you potentially could have up to 12 ballot questions. If you care to, you can read them at home in your leisure, as opposed to trying to figure it out in the ballot box on November 3rd.
Right, because some of the wording on those questions can be quite lengthy and with a lot of legalese too, so it takes some time to decipher.
Yeah, the summaries are great, but I do encourage people to try to read the bills themselves.
Yeah.
And there's 12 of them, and this is what I do for a living. So
Right.
it's like you can get a taste of what my life is like. But you also,
Yeah,
I'm going to gamble that many of you are going to have a lot less time to think about it than I do, because the nature of the legislative process gives a lot of time for us to thought, give some thought to matters.
yes.
It's ballot questions are very difficult for voters. Because you're looking at a bill, if you want to read the bill, not necessarily just the summaries, while you're in a ballot box, doing this in minutes, not spending weeks on something.
Well, exactly. Usually people are voting on their lunch hour or, just when they have a minute to stop by. So, yeah, that's not the ideal time.
Yeah, and it's going to definitely slow down the voting process on election day on November 3rd. This is where, try to reduce people from being discouraged. It discourages people when people have to wait too long, as you point out. Maybe it's lunchtime or they're trying to get home to their kids or whatever. Mail by ballot at home, gives you some more time to sit and be more thoughtful on these ballot questions. It gives more time to read and your own research if you want to do so. But I mean, like I said, you got 12 big questions, you got to read some bills. And unlike me, I have time to give it some thought during the legislative year. You get minutes inside a
No,
ballot.
right, exactly. Yeah, to comprehend 3 pages of information sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, very different. So we'll see how the budget plays out in the Senate, and see what the governor does in the end. As the federal government continues to be, we don't know what they're really doing. We'll wait to see how it all rolls through, but. In
Yep.
the meantime, don't forget, we are closed session July 31st, unless we have a conference committee report outstanding. And this, starting tomorrow, May 1st, essentially gives us, May, June, and July. So we got 3 month crunch. My office is already starting to review where my bills are, as well as committee bills. And, we do memos and letters to the committee chairs indicating our priorities, not just my own bills, but other priorities, as well as the Asian caucus priorities. So, we're trying to do a lot of that stuff. And
Yeah, May is AAPI month, right? We'll talk about that next week, maybe.
we can talk about it next week a little
Yeah.
more. You all may not realize, but for 16 years now, I've been invited to every, or well, 15 years actually, invited to all these different Asian events around the state, of which I cannot go to all of them, nor do I have the energy to go to all. So I gotta prioritize what I'm gonna be.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Like we all do in life, right? Set your priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do have that added responsibility that I gotta sort out and balancing it against not just going to local events here, but also doing committee work as a chair. And obviously, I do pay attention to constituent services. You may not be aware, every single week, the staff sits down with me and walks through what's going on the people's real life issues. And you're willing to share my office, and we try to help you.
Did the budget tacky add anything to the stabilization fund, the state stabilization fund?
Very small amount.
Oh, okay.
Stabilization fund is projected based on capital gains tax,
Ah.
and the market's a little bit screwball, and housing has slowed down because of high mortgage rates and lack of supply. So, or it has slowed down because of lack of supply to start with, and then you have the mortgage rate problem. So, stabilization fund is about 8.3 billion.
Okay.
That puts us top five in the nation, and that represents about over 12%, about 12% of the state budget total amount. But like your personal savings,
Yeah.
it's dumb to throw the whole thing out at one time.
Yeah.
You generally do a combination of cuts and stabilization if things are ugly.
Right. And does that fund earn interest?
It doesn't interest.
Okay.
The interest rates have been very kind to us right now, as we talked about
Yeah.
the Federal Reserve under short-term interest rates. We did dedicate a portion of the interest rates, about $100 million, just to interest. To the government and leverage it against federal infrastructure project
Oh,
money.
okay.
But given the federal infrastructure project money is highly questionable in terms of disbursement, there is a revision after 5 years that unspent money actually has to come back to us. Is it five or three? I think it's three.
Oh, okay.
It has
Interesting.
to
I
return
didn't know
back
that.
to the rainy day fund. So we may extend that again. There might be a new Congress in the fall. We could talk about that as we get
That's
closer
true.
to a
Yeah.
new, potential new Congress and all this. Political data that's out there, as all these news agencies and consultants have revised their all their formulas regarding changing where we live in and how we vote and how people conceive information, receive information, has actually changed political consulting and media's political calculations on campaigns. So it's actually pretty interesting how literally everyone in the political arena has changed their how they create projections. So, and then it's evolving issues. What I think today may not be what I think tomorrow. It's like baseball. Just because your team looks great on opening day doesn't mean they look great in October.
That's very true, especially with the Red Sox. Yes.
Well, it was a tough weekend in sports. I mean, Alex Cora, and then I saw they fired Tech. I'm like, oh, that's not going to go well. People like Tech. I like Tech. So that was like, oh boy. And then the Bruins got a drubbing. I was hearing from friends about that. I'm not a big hockey follower. And the Celtics is having a bit of a slow start in the playoffs. And then obviously you have the Vrabel scandal,
Oh
which
yes,
that press
which I don't
conference.
quite understand. Well, I mean, I guess I do and I don't, but why is personal life is being dragged through the mud like this?
It's because just, I
Because of
mean,
his
remember,
status, I know, yeah.
I know, but I mean, you're old enough, and I would have remembered all the Red Sox scandals. I mean,
Oh
was it
gosh, yes.
Wade Boggs's weird flirtations with Flowers, I think her name was, and
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Roger Clemens was complaining about carrying his own luggage out the
I forgot
airplane.
about that. That's right.
Wasn't he hurt at the time?
I believe so.
There
Yeah.
was like something wrong with his finger or something.
I think that's right.
And
Yeah.
they want to screw it up more, but it blew up into like, ooh, he can't carry his own luggage. I'm like, he is a pitcher and he's got a hand problem. I'd rather not make it worse.
Right. Yeah. That's how
So
he earns his living, right?
Mike Greenwood had some interesting dating habits or something. And then I think I remember my friends were all up in arms when Johnny Damon dumped his wife and then dated like a sushi thing or whatever. It
Oh, I
was
don't
like,
remember that. Okay.
yeah, there was a whole lot. And then there was like his love life got weird. Like my friends were following this dead series about Jamie Damon, Johnny Damon's love life. I mean, it's a big thing here.
Oh, okay. Who knew?
Well, it's inappropriate to be, messing around with a sports media person probably while you're in the business. Probably not a professionally wise move, but again, you're right. It's between him and his family. It doesn't really affect his performance in the job. And it's a one big distraction. So
Correct. Yeah.
it was also a press conference of nothing too, which I thought was fascinating how there was really nothing in that press conference to talk about. So yeah, it was an incredible weekend, followed by an assassination and mass murder attempt, which is tragic. I'm happy everybody's safe. And oh, by the way, Trump tried to make a case he should get a ballroom. Just remind folks, this was not a government event, the Correspondents' Dinner. This is a private event. It is not an official event of the government. Presidents do not have to go to this because the president did not put this together. I'm always fascinated by the fact that he's trying to do misdirection endlessly against the public. I'm making it sound like he needs something that has nothing to do with anything. That's like me saying that I should be entitled to use the White House ballroom to run a party, as opposed to running a party at the Marriott and inviting other people to come.
Well, it's called the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah,
It's
because it's the
their
White
dinner.
House. Well, it's all, yeah, it's a correspondent. It's the White House reporters or the media,
Right.
and other special folks that work in the media
Yeah.
to get together and celebrate, the ability to do their jobs and recognize each other. So, but again, I'm always fascinated by this misdirection. It's like Bessette, Secretary Bessette, getting out and telling people that China, it gets away because of the tariff rebates. I'm like, no, that's your money, people. That's your money that's in the tariffs that Costco and Walmart's trying to get their hands on. I'm always fascinated again by the continuation of the ability to hold a company line. I've never seen anything this in politics that it's not even like bending or twisting or kind of like spinning. It's just flat out like wrong.
You know what? Just change the topic for a minute. I wanted to mention this today to ask you about, because it falls under your purview actually, is there's some proposed changes in the way teachers are licensed, I guess, or can become licensed in Massachusetts to kind of make up for the teacher shortfall, and maybe add to the diversity in the workforce. The Department of Secondary and Elementary Education changed this earlier this week, actually, but it's not a done deal yet. Is that right?
I'm trying to remember what this is because we had passed during COVID. This is a long time ago, trying to add more diversity to workforce and provided some funding
Yes.
not just for
It's
diversity.
like an alternative way to get certified as a teacher, basically.
Yeah, there's well, it's also a lot of reciprocation as well. So one of the things that COVID created was a workforce shortfall
Yeah.
for jobs in particular, not
Yes.
just teachers, but also heavily in the medical professions. So as a result, the pipeline for getting workers into the system is a little onerous, but when you have not a workforce shortage, it's not a big problem. It's not that onerous, we don't have a workforce problem. But now it's become one. And there's a
Yeah.
lot of talk about things like interstate compacts and some stuff, which actually on the surface is a good idea, but really isn't when you dig deep into
Oh,
it.
how come?
Because standards are lowered or the standards are the same, and we don't always use the same definitional terms. And there's no, and local regulators are very confused about how to regulate locally when you have a centralized referral system. It's
I see.
more, it's not the same as reciprocation when you come into your state and you reciprocate your license,
Yes.
which is what teachers, you're talking about teachers now. It's
Yes, yeah.
I need to look at this. I don't recall very well. I just know we did a lot of stuff on not necessarily lowering the bar. It's reciprocation, avenues for more diversity, avenues for folks to try to get into this profession generally. We did the same thing with mental health, by the way.
Oh, okay.
But we're not taking away, you still need a master's.
I see. Okay.
So it's not like we're changing certain education requirements. We're probably allowing for equivalent.
Okay, I see. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was questioning myself when I read it. I didn't quite understand it,
Yeah, so the public hears about two things. One is basically accelerated reciprocation, or changing certain standards for folks to try to create a celebration process for licensing. The
yeah.
other one, interstate. Interstate means that you use a centralized system outside the state, which we have no control over, that's going to set a uniform standard for all states, of which every state is different,
Yep.
which also creates a problem because of things like definitional terms. Just because I say one word in Massachusetts doesn't mean it's the same word in Texas regarding definition.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, okay.
So that becomes a whole different conversation. So
I see.
we're talking about basically three types of issues. One is trying to find equivalency for the purposes of licensing. The second one is reciprocation. People actually have to come in and just one at a time reciprocation. The third one is using a third party, such as a clearinghouse, for the purposes of trying to do cross-state licensing in a uniform manner, which may not make sense because every state operates differently.
Yeah. It could be an issue with healthcare workers too, I can see, right? Nurses,
That's the big
doctors.
one.
Yeah.
Nurses, the Nurse Interstate Compact is the most big one we did
Yep.
a year ago, which is still in the implementation process. And
Okay.
Massachusetts actually has one of the highest and most strict licensing exams for nurses.
Okay.
So I'm not
Interesting.
sure how it's going to play out. That didn't come through my committee. That went through public health.
Oh, it did. Oh, okay. I thought it might have with you with licensure and professional. Okay.
No, I got a bunch of other ones, ranging from cosmetology, all the way down to social workers. But
I see.
I didn't get the nursing one.
Gotcha.
I looked at
Okay.
other ones, which I looked at other ones, which everyone does it differently, and it's a bit messy.
Takes time. Takes time. That's for sure. What's going on in the district?
I got Eagle Scout ceremony this weekend.
Oh.
I got my 35th anniversary at BC High alumni, which I'm not going to get to because Eagle Scout ceremony.
Oh, that's fun. Where's that going to be?
At BC High.
No, the Eagle Scouts.
United Congregational House Neck.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Congregational Church. So we'll do that. And then May, later in May, you have things like Queen's Age Resources Dinner. You have South Cole Manor's annual dinner meeting later in May. I'm not sure what we're doing for AIP Month in the State House. The
Okay.
governor's office or the with the commission, Asian American Pacific Islander Commission, generally does a lot of stuff there. I don't know what's going on. There's been some huge question marks going on about tomorrow. You got like the Asian Boston Film Festival coming up later this month as well. And then obviously, Memorial Day and Mother's Day is this month. And actually, speaking of which, I want to give a little bit of recognition to Millie Cox.
Yeah.
Millie passed away at 102. She's the first woman to join the US Marines. She's originally from Boston, but made a home in Quincy for basically 70 years.
Yep.
And speaking of Mother's Day, she had eight kids, 17 grandkids, and 23 great grandkids.
Yeah, an amazing legacy. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And I met Millie on her 100th birthday, and this is a story I always tell. I was having a bad day, so just grumpy, but I spent 5 minutes with Millie, and my day got better. It was actually quite remarkable that you have people really out there that just full of optimism and believe the world can be a better place and should be a better place, and there's no hate or allowance for speaking ill of other people. It doesn't matter how angry you are about anything, you shouldn't speak out. And Millie was that kind of person to spend time with. And I was really amazed at how better I felt and how quickly better I felt by spending some time with her. So, very thankful for having the chance to have her in a piece of my life, and a remarkable legacy, not just her service in the US military, but also her service to local veterans, but also most importantly, being a mother and a friend to a lot of people.
Nice, very nice. Yeah, and if folks would like, they can make a donation in her memory to the Quincy Veterans Services, where she worked as the first female clerk there.
And people forget, Veteran Services is not an old agency. Still
Absolutely
feeling,
not.
yeah, the post-World War II agency.
That's
Still
right.
very new.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, how do we get a hold of you, Jackie?
Room 42 at the State House. We were there this week, although I'm home today. 617-722-2370. 617-722-2370. Please wait on the prompts if there's no pickup on the phone to get to my name. Do not hang up just because you hear Kathy Nanatra, because we share suites, people. This ain't the Senate. We actually share suites, and we only have one phone tree.
Get your own private rooms.
We do not have a private room. We have a phone tree. So this is, I think people under this perception we're in Congress where I have this swaggy office and everybody has a private line. Nope, we don't. We do not. I share space with other people. So as a result, it's a phone tree. Tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. That is the email. I am drowned in co-sponsored email requests, and I'm sorry to say I cannot co-sponsor everything. I got to as many as I think I could figure out in a short time period, and ones I don't understand, I tend not to want to sign on to. The ones I can figure out, I will. So, and speaking of short period decision making, we do have Facebook statements of Tacky Chan and corresponding Instagram at Tacky_Chan. And we do have our Tacky Chan ORG page resources purposes. followed by MELegislature.gov, which again encourage everybody to watch our Senate debates we had the last few days, as well as public hearings, and you can look up your own bills without me. And of course, we're Joe here every week or every 2 weeks. Please email Joe with your thoughts and concerns at QATV at QATV.org. So, and Joe generally does this 10 minutes in the morning, whether it be live or on a podcast. You can hear us on YouTube or your favorite podcast station. And I think, was it In a Minute? What do you call that morning show? It's it. I can't remember now. In a Minute? What do you call that? Morning Quincy?
A.M. Quincy.
A.M. Quincy. So yeah, you
Yep.
can look it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. More the merrier. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Techie. All
Take care.
right. We'll talk to you in May.